As a new guy, I've heard about the Minnesota Nice. I want to take it to a whole new level, and I think you guys are Minnesota brave. Literally, this place is trying to kill you, and you said, no, I want to worship God. I want to hang out with my faith community, and my wife is making me, and that's fine, either way. I'm glad you guys are here this morning. I'm glad you're here in Elk River. Otsego, man, you're the MVP. Because you unpacked church in this minus what seems to be 178 degree weather. So I want to welcome you both to Elk River, to Otsego. And if you're online and you're PJs, you might be smarter than us. And that's okay. I hope you have a wonderful time enjoying worshiping and being a part of this faith community. One church, multiple different locations. Now, about a decade ago, my wife was pregnant. And she was super pregnant, like so pregnant, she was more pregnant horizontal than she was vertical. I can say this because she's an Otsego. Mainly, I have a very short wife, a very small, tiny human being. And when she was expecting, God gave our baby's great health, and we are very thankful for that. But she was sick a lot, and so she was this tiny package. And she was super pregnant, right? And so as the husband and going to be father, I thought, man, I need to help my wife. What can I do? We're both working full-time in ministry down in Phoenix, so it was 115 degrees. We pick well. We do well, right? Anyway, and so she's super pregnant, and I'm like, I want to help. What can I do? Because I get it. I'm one of those guys that I just don't automatically pick things up sometimes. Right? So ladies, if you have a husband or a boyfriend that you're like, man, I just need to drill in and keep drilling, you'll get there someday, right? And so I asked, like, what can I do to help? And she would name off a few things, and I'm like, I can do that. You chill out on the couch and just be, because that looks hard, right? And I would run and do this, and I would go and get this, and she didn't have a ton of cravings, which was a bummer. I thought I'd get a lot of ice cream out of it, but it didn't work out that way. But one of her friends, a mutual friend, looks at me and goes, John, man, you know she's just really super OCD about dishes. Can you just wash, dry, and put away the dishes? And I'm like, I can do things. I can go get her food, and if you need shelves, I'll try to build you shelves, right? There was a voice of reason literally speaking to me and saying, John, just do the dishes. That would just make her so happy. But guess what John Muffler wanted to do? I wanted to help my wife in the way that I wanted to help her, not in the way that necessarily she would receive the greatest thing from me. But that was a long time ago, and we've all grown. I mean, think of yourself 10 years ago. That's crazy. Today, I know that one of the things that I can do for my wife, simple things. I don't need to conquer an entire nation for her. I just know if I make the bed for her, it just puts a big giant smile on her face. And so you know what I do? I wake up and I take a shower and I go make her coffee. Anyone else struggle in serving your homies, serving the people, serving, taking care of their needs, not necessarily through your own? We got some hands raised over there. I appreciate that. It's church. Let's be honest. I love that, right? Anybody else struggle with that, or am I just a kind of a pile of bad husband, which I'm in process. Poor Stacy. It was a project. Anyway, but I do. I look at that and I say, I want to help you in the way that benefits and helps me as well. I make Stacy coffee. Because I drink coffee. I don't want to make the bed because, like Jim Gaffigan says, I'd like to go hang out in that bed as soon as I possibly can. I don't want to make the bed. I'm trying to create appointments in my schedule to go hang out with that bed, right? But I know serving your homies is hard. Think of your kids. Think of your spouse. Think of your parents. Think of your grandparents. Think of the people that maybe you're at church with right now. Your tight crew, the people that you would call families, homies. Like, what are some things that you could look at and say, I know she really wants her. Man, it would just make his day. It would be so great if. And you're like, nah, I don't want to do that. That's not me. That's not really my thing. When we serve others, we put our needs aside to focus on them. And that is not a natural thing for human beings to do. Because to be very honest, I don't ever wonder if John Muffler's hungry. I just know it, and I do something about it. If I'm sleepy, if I'm cold, gosh, if I'm cranky, I kind of see this in the mirror, right? I get my emotions. I understand who I am, and I can chase after those. But it takes me putting aside my own desires and wants to look at the people around me, my kids, my wife, my mom, my Dave, my dad, my Darlene, my Kathy, these people around me, these circles of people around me that I should really be investing in. I have to get over my own self in order to serve well. And in all honesty, when I think of serving or helping others, my first thought is, and this is going to sound like I'm sucking up, because it is, it's moms. Moms are phenomenal at serving other people. I say this not because I had a phenomenal mother. I did. I'm married to a phenomenal mother. But I've seen the sacrifices. I have seen things that moms will do for their kids that dads would say, I love my kids. But I'm not going to do that, right? Like, it's crazy. I've seen moms give up showering for days so that their kids could be safe. I say, Mickey Mouse Club, turn that on and I go take a shower, right? Right? Moms do that. Moms watch football practice for years and years and years. They shuttle screaming kids around to all these different things that maybe they don't really have that much passion. They've watched Rambo 16 for the fifth time with their husband, knowing that that would make him happy, right? I see moms daily practice this. This is a hard trait, though. So why do you think at the end of the Super Bowl next weekend, whoever gets the MVP is going to look in the camera, and most of the time, what do they say? They say, hi, Mom. Not the dad that taught them football, not the coaches that taught them football, not the guy that's paying them $18 million, the owner. They look into the camera and say, hey, hi, Mom. I see what you've done for me. I look at my own mom, and she had a rough time. It was rough when I was a kid, right? She was by herself. She was doing the best she could with me, right? Like, I see moms sacrifice and are willing to put others first. Now, Homies is a series that looks at how we interact with our crew, the family, the people we're closest to. If you look around, you probably have some of your homies right there with you. Now, I know there's a lot of voices out there that are trying to shape our families. Some of them are positive, but to be real honest, some of them are fairly negative and put us in a situation where we kind of have to do something about it. Whether you're a mom, a dad, a son, a daughter, an aunt, an uncle, a grandma, a grandpa, this series is to help us equip our families to be the best they possibly can and find spiritual health. You and I could help serve and lead our families, our homies. So today, this morning, we're looking at how do we serve our people? How do we serve the people that we are absolutely in love with? And now, when I say the word serving, when I sit down, sometimes my first reaction is serving. Well, okay, so I can go to this food bank. I can bring some cans. I mean, right? I can do that. I can go someplace. Sometimes I think missions trips. I think, man, I need to get out of my own space, go someplace warm, and do God's work, right? I can go, dig a ditch or help a hospital or teach VBS to kids. Sometimes when we think serving, we think of outward focus, and that's not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. You're not hearing the preacher say serving others is a bad thing. I just want us to take a second and say, listen, taking your service and your time outward is so needed and called for as a Christian, but to be very honest, sometimes it starts at home. Familiarity breeds content. And sometimes we forget the people that we rub elbows with every single day need us desperately. Desperately. There are a few things that hinder or even destroy our attitudes when it comes to serving the people that we're closest to, our homies. The first one is the idea or the feeling is I'm exempt from the responsibility of serving my homies. it's someone else's job. Let's start there, okay? Being in ministry for a couple decades now, I don't know how many times I've heard it, and to be honest, I was kind of trained this way. That, man, it's not my responsibility as a dad to teach my kids about spirituality and following Jesus. Well, there's some youth minister or children's minister at a church. I mean, they had like college and they went to seminary and they've got some backing and understanding. That's their job. That's not my job to serve my kids so that they can understand who Jesus is. It's my job to bring them to church, right? You've heard that. I was there for a while. To be honest, that's how I was trained, and I had to work myself out of that mindset. Like, I'm exempt. That's not my responsibility. Somebody else can do it. Maybe I'm overqualified. It's a waste of my time. Listen, I know Stacy desperately wants me to take some initiative and get some stuff done around the house, and I do. But to be honest, I go toward the line of what I need to do, and I stop. Wouldn't it be better if I go to that line and just keep chugging along, right? Keep helping out. Maybe if I did everything I could to help her and her responsibilities, our relationship would be so much better. But sometimes I think, well, I mean, she's the mom. She only has one job as the mom. Have you heard this? Everything. Right? She has one job. Everything. And sometimes, if you're like me, I would say, I just don't have time. I have so many things going on. I have very little margin in my life to serve the people that literally live in my home, my next-door neighbor, my parents. Maybe there's just no margin. We're moving too quickly with your own agenda to even notice the area in which people are struggling and desperately need our help. The next one, next idea that might kill some serving, is I deserve special treatment. Listen, anything I say from this stage, I am not pointing a finger at you. There are a few things this morning I might say that might irritate you, and that's okay, and this is going to be one of them, but I struggle with this. You ready for this? Entitlement is an ugly word, but man, we live in it. We roll with it. This attitude is almost impossible to self-diagnose. When we think we are entitled, we are better than, we deserve. I don't know if a lot of people roll with that, but I think as an American, sometimes I look at the situation and say, well, I mean, obviously, I'm a big deal. So that's, you know, that should be mine. I deserve that. That should be me, right? Again, and serving is taking yourself and putting yourself second and putting somebody else first. This is a difficult thing because it needs to have an honest conversation, and it's a hard conversation. It's difficult for you to look in the mirror. You or I to look in the mirror and say, you know what, I think I'm entitled. No, I can look in the mirror and be like, man, I speed too much. I get that. I should slow that down. I should be an example to my kids in the back. It's a frozen tundra. I should probably, you know, try to keep it safe as much as I possibly can. There are some times that you can look in the mirror and self-diagnose. You know, we've got some issues and places to grow. But to be honest, entitlement, this idea that I deserve, really needs to come from somebody else that taps you on the shoulder in a loving way that just reminds you, you are important. But you are not the only important thing in this world. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. I'm here to tell you, you are uniquely and created by a loving God that looks at you and thinks you are the greatest thing. But there's also other creations that are equally, this is the greatest thing. You and I should not look at our own uniqueness and say, oh, and hamper our ability to love other God's children. So we're going to take a look at some scripture this morning about how Jesus sets a model for his homies and then kind of some expectations for us. So we're going to go right to Matthew 20, 25 through 28. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." Stop right there. Listen, it's just kind of how the world works right now, right? Your title and the amount of decimal points you have in your salary kind of give you the power in this world. Listen, we would look at a title and say, you're kind of a big deal because you've made it this far, right? There's authority over us. And here's the crazy thing. Normally, how the world works is how Jesus operates in just the opposite. This is what Jesus says, not so Christians, not so believers in Christ, not so people who are trying to figure out who this Jesus guy is, not so with you. Instead, he takes what is normal. Well, if you're the president or an emperor, if you're rich, you've got a great big title, you're kind of important. You're a big deal. He says, not so with you. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. What? That's ridiculous. Jesus, come on. And whoever wants to be first, your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. We have a picture of Jesus in Scripture, and it is mind-boggling. Jesus was born to a poor family. A king isn't born into a poor family. He was born into a family that his mother didn't have the best reputation. This is a difficult thing, this whole virgin birth idea, right? Joseph looks at Mary and goes, I don't think I want to be a part of this situation anymore. That's not what I signed up for, right? The King of Kings probably should not have been in this particular family if this first section was the way things should have been. He says, instead, Christians, first shall be last, last shall be first. One of the ways you can tell someone is a Christ follower, a Christian, is defined here. We are to serve others in the example that Jesus gave his life as a ransom for others, to give his life as a ransom for many. Instead of position, instead of power, instead of cash, you and I, if we're trying to follow after Jesus Christ, if we want to take this idea of being a part of God's family to the very next step, it's not about church attendance. It's about chasing after what he demands, expects, and relishes for us. And instead of power and prestige and title, he says, no, no, no. Instead, I want you to be humble. I want you to be a servant. Romans 12:3. For by the grace given to me, Paul says, to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Okay, take a breath. It's offensive, but guess what? Sometimes Scripture's pretty offensive. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Humility is such a defining characteristic of who our Savior is. If you think about it, if this is your first time at church, or if you've been here for 45, 50 years, have been part of the faith family, listen, when we look at Jesus, he didn't walk into a room and say, I'm a big deal, listen to me, I'll take the best chair, I'll take the best meal, I want the best of this, I want the best of this. What did he do? In humility, he looked at himself and said, I am to serve my creation. I am to love people that hate me. I am to love people that will destroy me. Paul reminds us that we are not above the standard of our king, but to be imitators of his humility. Personal pet peeve I have, and it's just John. Man, an arrogant Christian makes me mad. And I can forgive people left and right because I know I have made so many mistakes, but the arrogance that sometimes a follower of Christ walks with is such a turnoff, is such an about-face from the characteristics that we see in Jesus Christ. We are called to serve one another, and that includes the people that we live with, the homies in our lives. The next one, Philippians, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. This is the idea of others first, self second. Others first. This whole idea of serving is others first in humility. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. We go on to, 3:8. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Check this out. Which means he could, but he decided not to play the God card. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself. He put himself second to the needs of us by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, fully God, becomes fully man to serve his creation. And that, to me, blows my mind. With all authority, with all power, he did not have to come here. He did not have to step out of paradise. He did not need to leave the comfort to come here knowing exactly what was going to happen to him. He could have used the God card to get out of putting others first, but he didn't. We're talking Jesus here. We're talking the King of Kings. At any point, if he didn't like something that was happening, he could just hit the button and say, you know what, I pass. I don't need to do this. But he put himself second and put us first. Servants change their expectations. If we are called to serve others, a true servant of God, somebody who is working toward that understanding that they are under Jesus Christ, we change our expectations to say, you know what, this world isn't about me. I'm still working through that, obviously. But this world isn't about me. If Jesus is my great example, and if I'm trying to be a follower of Christ, he is my great example, and he was a phenomenal example in humility to serve other people. If we do this, our entitlement, our excuses, transforms into a lifestyle of others first. Our fellowship, our discipleship transforms our mind into thinking and acting like Jesus. This is going to be hard. Here we go. You ready? There are churchgoers, and then there are Jesus followers. And this is one of the defining moments in that. I came to Christ at 19 through college basketball, and I lived as a, I lived as a churchgoer for quite some time. Years of my life, I looked at Jesus and said, I'm a fan. I'm going to buy the shirt. I'm going to buy season tickets. I'm going to show up on Sunday morning. It changed my Sunday morning, but it didn't change the 7 days out of my life. I still put John first, and then I added an extra side mashed potato plate of Jesus, and I felt pretty good. But we have a defining moment here in our walk with Jesus Christ. Either we're churchgoers, and if you're a churchgoer in here, I'm super excited you're here. That's awesome. This is a great first step. This is a phenomenal opportunity to rub elbows with other Christians and try to live and love and cry and minister together. This is hard. This faith life is not easy. But to be very honest, servants of Jesus, followers of Christ, real Christians that are trying to follow after him, change their expectations and say, you know what? I'm second. God, you're first. Others are first. I'm going to roll with this. So wherever you land in that boat today, it's not my job to beat down on you. It's my job to remind you there's something better for you. And you can continue to do it. And we'd love to help you take a next step in Jesus Christ. Listen, John, what if we serve people all the time? I mean, if we're all about this, will people like take advantage of us? Well, yes. Yeah, they totally will. Scripture says it right here. I'm using Message because it's a fluffier version. I like that sometimes. If someone drags you to court and sues you for the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. Seems kind of passive aggressive, but I like it. And if somebody takes unfair advantage of you, because they will if you serve them, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit for tat stuff. Live generously. I don't like that scripture. I'm struggling in this. But when I see this, I think, man, this is not fair if somebody takes advantage of me. If I serve other people, people are going to take advantage of me. They're going to take advantage of me in my family, in my work environments, in my community. They will. And you know what scripture says? They say, yeah. Practice serving others because life is not fair. And thank God life is not fair because he took fair to the cross. Because what you and I deserve is separation from God. If we just scream, no, I'm not going to serve other people. I don't want people taking advantage of me. That's not fair. That's not right. Thank God life is not fair. Because, oh my goodness, what is fair is me being separated from God because I am a rebel. You and I are rebels because of our sin, because of how we've pushed back. Mark 10:45, And this is the last one we're going to look at. We're going to walk into something else. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, even though he was King of Kings, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This word ransom reminds me that there was a price to pay. And when we serve and when we give up of ourselves, it's going to hurt. Best case, it's uncomfortable. Worst case, you have to give everything. Jesus here sets the example and says this. He gave his life as a ransom. He paid off our debt. He freed us as prisoners from our own destruction because he loves us, because he's chasing after us. And I love this. Servants run toward their responsibilities. When we finally cross that line and say, you know what, this life isn't about me, it's about other people, it's about worshiping God and serving other people. Servants, you and I, we're no longer looking at the situation saying, somebody else will take care of that, or I don't have time, or that's beyond me. No, servants, what do? They run toward their responsibilities. They run toward other people. So, information's great. We can pray right there and we can move on. We can all high-five each other. Or we can take a real quick look in the next couple minutes and say, how do we tangibly do this? How do we tangibly serve our homies, the people that we are closest with, our parents, our kids, our spouses, whatever it is? How do we do that? First of all, servants provide for their homies. We are here to help and serve the people that are around us. You do not live in a vacuum. This world's not about you. You can pour your life into these other people, little, big, old, young, whatever it is, and their lives are completely better. 1 Timothy says, anyone who does not provide for their families, their relatives, and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Ow, golly. That's a kick in the gut. You see this? Timothy is saying this, if you are just living your life for yourself and you're doing nothing to provide and take care of the people around you, basically you've said it with your words that you are not a follower of Christ. You've said it with your actions that says, you know what, Jesus, you seem like a great idea, but I'll buy the shirt and move on. You've denied the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. That great moment you cross the line and said, Jesus, this is a big deal. I'm going to walk across it. Maybe you were baptized and said, you know what? This is a fresh start, a new chance. I'm chasing after it. But if you just deny your own relatives and especially your own household, what scripture says is, you're just kind of saying pass. No thanks. How should we provide for our homies? We set an example in our relationships with our God and other people. If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, if you're a kid, if you're an aunt, you're an uncle, you set the example of loving people well, first and foremost, so the other people around you can ask hard questions. I constantly have little children in the back seat asking me, hey, why'd you do that? Hey, why are you going so fast? Hey, wasn't that a stop sign? Hey, do we drive through that guy's yard? Listen, there are things in the back that I'm like, shh, leave me alone. I got this, right? But if I don't set the example, when Olivia Kate or Myra Page is 18 and they're rolling 120 down, 35, that's on me because I have a Jeep, so I can't really go 125. Anyway, but like seriously, if I set the stage of how we treat other people and respect authority and God around us, I'm setting the example. And the second one is, you know what? I need to show them my relationship with Jesus Christ is not a Sunday morning scenario. They need to see Stacy and I reading our Bible. They need to see that I am willing to sit down with them and lead them through hard conversations. We need to provide for our families the opportunity for not just a great example with other people, but an example of ourselves following Jesus Christ. The next one, I'm going to skip that one because I'm out of time. The next one is servants pray for their homies. This sounds like a total churchy thing to do, but yeah, we're a church. Let's talk about it. There we go. Servants pray for their homies. James 5:16 says this, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be healed. Everybody loves the healed word. Not a big fan of this whole confess thing. I don't like that. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. One of the greatest things you can do to serve your homies, the people that you're closest to, is pray for them and pray with them. Turn off ESPN, turn off The View, shut the paper down, turn off your electronic device, get on your knees and pray for your family. Man, God is not looking for eloquent, fancy, beautiful 35-minute prayers. Man, but you've got stuff that you know your family's going through that you just need to bring to the Lord. You need to get on your knees for your kids. You need to get on your knees for your spouse. Please, if you are not praying for your spouse, no wonder that person is probably irritated with you a lot. And the second thing we can do, we can pray with our homies. And I got no problem praying around the dinner table. I think that's great. But if I bow my head and there's hot, beautiful, wonderful food wafting up into my nose, it is not a devotional time. God, thank you for this food. Nom, 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 right? You get after it. Set some time apart and pray with your spouse. Pray with your mom. Because we know that when you pray, God delivers and does crazy things. Do you want your kids to come to an understanding of faith in Jesus Christ? Serve them. You want your spouse to come to an understanding of who Jesus Christ is? Serve them. If you want your boss, your mom, your golf buddy to understand who Jesus Christ is, serve them. Five powerful words. We're going to end with this, that we can use this week to change the lives of our homies. How can I help you? Five powerful words. How can I help you? Not serving isn't like, I want this for you. But what do you need and how can I deliver? That is my hope. That's my prayer. I hope that Scripture and the Holy Spirit has inspired you to look at your homies and say, you know what, I can do more. I'm not perfect, but I can chase after Jesus while I chase after you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for families. I know they are dysfunctional, broken, hot messes sometimes, but God, this is exactly where you needed us to be. Being alone is painful, and to be very honest, it's destructive. It's hard to move. It's hard to get traction. Even in our families that have so much pain, we know that you've put us right here, right now. God, help us step up to be more like Jesus and to serve the people that sometimes we can't stand even though we live with them or even though they're related to us. Father, we give you glory and honor and we say thank you for our homies. Help us serve them this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.